Well, this morning we have another great question here to consider, and a question that actually comes to us from real life experience. Here's the question. When I asked a friend to come to bring a friend to church day, they said, well, church is a waste of time. I wasn't sure how to respond. What would you then say to somebody who says that church is a waste of time? That's a great question, and I am sure that the person who asked it is not the only person who has heard that before. And admittedly, there was a time when I would have said that church was a waste of time. And so it's kind of been neat this week to go through the process of thinking about what would I have said to myself 20 years ago to say that church is not, in fact, a waste of time. So what I want to do today is to give you three kind of responses to the question, and then think about how you might respond the next time you find yourself in that situation where a person says it's a waste of time to be at church. So what would I say to someone who thinks church is a waste of time? The first thing I would say is that church is not a waste of time because it gives us a chance to talk about eternity. The church is not a waste of time because it gives us a chance to talk about eternity. Just stop and think for a minute. How many other opportunities do you have through the week to think about eternity? Like, how many other organizations or groups or communities will help you to think about the life beyond this one? You know, I suspect that church is pretty much the only one. There are lots of organizations that would love to talk to you about what you're doing with this life, but there are very few beyond the church that help you think about what comes next. And that's important because there is a what comes next. There is a life beyond this one. And it's important for us to consider. John 5 is a good example of that. If you turn with me to John 5, I've got one Bible verse per idea here today. So I'll have you turn to all three of them. John 5 here. John 5 is an example. John 5, 28 specifically is one place where Jesus talks about the reality of life beyond this one. And here's what he says, John 5, 28, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Our culture doesn't like to think about this, but the reality is that unless Jesus comes first, we will all die, we will all be buried, then we will all rise to give account for what we have done in our lives. Those who have done good will go on to live forever. Those who have done evil will go on to eternal condemnation, Jesus says. That's something that we need to think about. Church is not a waste of time because it helps us to think about that reality. Now, if you're reading that passage really closely, you might say, well, I don't need church for that, right? As long as I do good, I'm going to live forever, right? Verse 29, Jesus says, those who have done good will rise to live. So as long as I do good, it really doesn't matter if I go to church. Right? Well, just four verses earlier, Jesus tells us what that good looks like. Verse 24, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has passed from life to death. So just four verses before Jesus says you need to do good to go on to eternal life, he has said the way to eternal life is believing in me. There is no amount of good that we can do that repairs the rift that we create when we tell God that we don't really have any care about doing what he wants us to do. And yet, John 3:16, right? God loved us so much that he gave his one and only son to die, to repair that rift, so that all who, what, believe in him would not, what, perish, but have everlasting life. believing in Jesus means that we rise to eternal life. And then the good that we do in the body is not good that we do out of the goodness of our own heart, but good that we do in response to what Jesus has already done in giving us life and hope. So doing good begins when we believe in Jesus, and then it carries on from there. So put those verses together, 24 and 28 and 29, and Jesus is saying this: do not be amazed at this. There is a time coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have believed in me and done good in response will rise to live. Those who have done evil, those who have ignored me and just done their own thing, they will rise to be condemned. Church is not a waste of time because it gives us a chance to think about these things. It gives us a chance to think about the reality of eternity. It gives us a chance to think about the reality that our actions in this life impact our eternal well-being. And it gives us a chance for us to hear that Jesus has made a way for us to gain eternal life. Right? Nowhere else will tell you that. That Jesus is the only way. So for that reason, church is not a waste of time. Now, a response that I think that people might then say is, well, what if it's not true? Right? It's just the Bible that tells us that that's true. What if the Bible's wrong? It's just not worth my time to think about eternity because you know, it might not be true. If somebody said that to me, I would say, are you sure? I would say, are you so sure about that you're willing to stake your eternal well-being on it? You know, there's this idea out there called Pascal's wager. It's a concept that comes from Blaise Pascal, French philosopher, Christian philosopher. And it goes kind of like this. If you say there's no such thing as eternity, no, let's start here. If you say there's no such thing as eternity, and I say there is such a thing as eternity, we can't both be right. One of us is right and one of us is wrong. Let's say you're right for a minute. If you're right and I'm wrong, that there is no eternity, then I will have wasted my life as a Christian. I will die and cease to exist, and that's that. What I did in this life will have no impact. But wait, did I waste my life as a Christian? Did I waste my life belonging to a community that truly cares about me? Did I waste my life doing good for other people, attempting to replicate the character of Jesus in my own life? Did I waste my life by having peace? I don't think so. But what if I'm right and you're wrong? Then I'll have lived that life and go on to eternal life. You go on to eternal condemnation. Are you so sure that you're right, that you're willing to risk your eternal well-being? Church is not a waste of time because it gives us a chance to think about those realities. It gives us a chance to contemplate eternity and helps us to hear how Jesus makes the way for us to live forever. Church is not a waste of time because it helps us to think about eternity. Now, that's not the only thing that it's good for. Church is not a waste of time because it helps us to grow in our relationship with God. Church is not a waste of time because it helps us to grow in our relationship with God. And practically speaking, that's no small thing. 5 years ago, the Pew Research Group did a study on why people go to church. And the number one reason that people go to church is to grow closer to God. Imagine that. 81% of people said that was the number one most important thing about church, is to go to grow closer to God. And that itself is a very biblical idea. There is nothing that you can do in this life that's more important than that. I mean, Paul famously says that in Philippians 3:8, and I would encourage you to turn there. So I'm not going to start at Genesis, Exodus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Get past the Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, and then you'll hit Philippians. I'm going to read just the first part, and then I'll come back while you're going there. Philippians 3:8, Paul says, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. Let's look a bit closer there. Philippians 3, starting in verse 4, Paul says, okay, if anyone has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. If anybody thinks they're better than Paul, that they are more morally worthy than Paul, that they are more capable of proving themselves worthy of life than Paul, apart from God, they're wrong. Paul says, look, here are my credentials. Here are the things that make me most worthy and most valuable in and of themselves. I was circumcised on the eighth day. Of the people of Israel, I belong to the tribe of Benjamin, which gives me first place. Bens are good. He's a Hebrew of the Hebrews, he says. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. He is like the poster boy for legalistic righteousness. As for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless, Paul says, I have all these things going for me, good and virtuous things. And yet, verse 7, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. There is nothing more important than knowing Jesus. In fact, he says, I consider those things rubbish, trash, useless junk that's not worth anything compared to gaining Christ and knowing him. You know the little, do you drink milk out of a bag? Like, not directly out of the bag, but you know the little corner you snip off of it? That little worthless little thing that drives your wife crazy when you don't put it in the garbage? Paul says, look at all these other things, all this legalistic righteousness that I have, all the money that I've owned, all the friends that I've had, all the population, all the popularity that I have, the influence that I have. It's worth like a little milk bag corner. It's trash compared to knowing Jesus. Nothing more important than that. There is nothing more important in life than knowing God. And church is the primary way that we come to know him and grow in relationship with him. That being said, I realize that there are other important ways to grow in your relationship with God, right? Prayer, personal Bible study, having your eyes open and seeing how God is at work in creation and in the world around you. But I remember reading an article that made an important point, I think. Back when people were getting back into the swing of things, kind of after COVID, and we were thinking about how do we encourage people to come back to church, I read this article. This mom made a point that I thought was really helpful. Sure, she says, you can hear great teaching in a variety of ways. Listening online, though, is different than listening in on the service. I don't know about you, but when I listen at home, I have a long to-do list. A child that loves attention, a phone that rings, floors to sweep, laundry to fold, neighbor's dog barking. I almost never absorb the message in the same way as I do when I am physically present on a Sunday. When I'm in this service, I have uninterrupted time. Time to focus on what God is saying to me. Time to reflect on how he wants me to grow. My phone is on silent. There are no chores to be done in that moment. I can focus. I can engage my heart and my mind, she says. I don't know about you, but I can totally identify with that. Right? When I'm outside of church, you know, I appreciate that you're here those people who are listening online, I appreciate that you're here, and you're a part of this service, so you're taking that time, and I assume you're not sweeping the floor at the same time as listening. But you know, if I'm on a Monday morning, and I think, oh, well, I'm gonna listen to a sermon from yesterday, it's just not the same as being in that moment on a Sunday morning with a community of believers. Church is not a waste of time because it helps us to grow in our relationship with God. So, not a waste of time because it helps us to think about eternity. Second, church is not a waste of time because it helps us to grow in our relationship with God. Third, church is not a waste of time because it helps us to be built up by and to build up a community of faith. When I first came to faith, I really did have this idea that I could be a lone wolf Christian, right? Like, I didn't need the drama of other people's lives. Just me and Jesus, that's good. That works out. But in reality, I needed people to step in and say, whoa, Graham, you're not applying that right. Or I can see that you are bearing a burden right now that has loaded you down, and let me help you carry that. I will never forget the people who took time out of their day to listen to me, to pray to me, not pray to me, pray for me, yeah, that's right. It gave me a place to stay in France, gave me a meal when I needed it, lent me their car, right? Those things all happened within the context of the church. Those believers built me up. And then little by little, I started to realize, wait, I can actually give back. I can actually share some of those good things with other people as well. I started to realize the church is not just about me getting fed, but me helping to build up other people as well. The church is not a waste of time because it helps us to be built up and to build up a community of believers. Go to Hebrews 10. If you go to the back of your Bible, the big part is Revelation, and then just a little bit before that, there's another big part, and that's Hebrews. Hebrews 10:20 says something very important. Jesus brings us, when he redeems us, he doesn't just redeem us as lone wolves. He makes us a part of community, and there's a reason for that. He brings us together so that we can refine each other, so that we can be a popcorn popper together. Hebrews 10:22, if you watch this, Hebrews 10:22, just look at the language here, how much plural language there is rather than singular individual. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful. Look, I realize that being a Christian out in the real world is difficult these days when culture is like throwing out the morals and norms that have established our culture for hundreds of years, and we end up looking like weirdos from the 1700s. We need each other to build each other up and hold to this faith that we profess and say, Jesus is right. It may seem old-fashioned, it may seem unlikely, but the way that Jesus calls us to live is good. That's why he gave us the church, that we can hold each other up and back each other up as we are holding true to Jesus. It's not just what we believe, it's what we do. Hebrews 10 continues, Hebrews 10:24. Let us consider how we may spur each other on toward love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together, as some of us are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day of eternity approaching. Right? Church is not just for you or me. Church is for us. We gather together. We spur each other on to good deeds. You could be a Christian by yourself at home and never come to church, but you are never going to have the benefit of mutual encouragement from other people, the kind of mutual encouragement that God intended for us to have in the first place. So, church is not a waste of time because it helps us to build up and be built up by a community of faith. Is church a waste of time? Well, I would say no, because it helps us to think about eternity. It helps us to grow in relationship with God, helps us to grow in community and build up and be built up by others. In fact, I would probably go so far as to say that not only is church not a waste of time, participating in church is probably the most important thing that you can do. It is the most important investment of time that you can make. Now, before we close, let me just make two other observations real quick, because I think they'll help you in real life, as you run into this situation. First, and to be honest, this is the first thing that came into my mind when I heard the question. If someone's experience of church is a church that does not help them to think about eternity, that does not help them grow in relationship with God, that does not help them build one another up in life, then it is a waste of time. Church, we've all been to churches that are boring, that are me-centered, that are all about how to make you a better person in five ways, where church is a religious social club, where all people want to do is gatekeep and say, no, you can't sit there, because that's where I've always sat. Those churches are a waste of time. They just are. What I would say to people who have experienced church like that is to say, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not what God intended a community of believers to be. We are to be iron sharpening iron who help each other to struggle with eternal and spiritual realities, who help each other to pursue the one true God who is good and just and real. Like, that's the crazy thing. You ever been to a church where they talk about God, but you don't get the sense that they think God is actually real? Church is not a waste of time when it helps you to grow in relationship with others. It helps you to know that God is real. So if somebody is coming from a dead church and they say, church is a waste of time, then say to them, come to Langford. Come, give us a chance. We will not waste your time. And second, this is probably the most pointed of all. Assuming you're talking about a church like ours, I would say, well, what have you got to do that's more important than church? Right? Like if church wastes your time, what are you going to do with the time that you spend not coming to church? Is whatever you're doing more important than thinking about eternity, building, being built up and building up a community, growing in the relationship with God that you're meant to have? Like, what's so important to you that you would neglect your spiritual and eternal well-being, your relationship with the God who loves you, your community? What's more important than doing those things? Okay, let me conclude with this. If somebody says to you that church is a waste of time, well, first off, good for you for having that conversation with them, right? Like, that's great that you're already having that talk. Secondly, you know, I've given you some ideas and some things that you could say or help them to think through. But really, admittedly, I don't think that cold calculus and facts are gonna like win anybody over. I think what they need to know is that God loves them, that you love them, that welcome brings them in, more than any clever thing, that you could say. God does miraculous things and can bring people to know him. And if we are being intentional about being the kind of place that explores spiritual realities, that helps people to know God better, helps people to grow in community with others, then this is exactly the kind of place where God will work. So let's pray together as we consider this. And I would invite you to think of somebody as we pray, that, you know, has said this before or has this attitude in their mind that church is a waste of time. And Father, we lift these people up to you and recognize if somebody says church is just a waste of time, what they're really saying is, I don't want to come to church. And ultimately, just coming to church is not the goal. The goal is knowing you, God, better. And so I pray that if we run into these conversations again, that you would speak through us, that people would sense your reality. Because when we recognize that you are real, that you are with us, that you are powerful and at work, it is not a waste of time to be here. God, I pray that you would strengthen our own hearts, give us confidence and courage and satisfaction, knowing that when we are here, we are growing in you, and this is the best investment of time we can possibly make. And Lord, for people who would say that it's a waste of time, I pray that if their experience has been with, dead old churches that are more about gathering as a social club, I pray that they would give us a chance. I pray that they would give you a chance. Jesus, nudge their hearts, that they would be open to the idea that maybe church as a dusty old religious thing is not what God intends as church. And that it's worth trying something new, like us. Help us to be a church that welcomes those kind of people, Lord. Help us to be a church that builds one another up, that makes you the center of everything, that sees the world in spiritual and eternal, from a spiritual and eternal perspective. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be the church that you've made us to be. Bring people to know you. Help us to know you better too. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together as we respond.